and welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And I want to just take a moment to thank our listeners from Bonnie Bay to Botswana, from Vancouver to Sweden. Yes. We have a huge Swedish listenership.
Yeah,
Who knew?
We just I mean Luke just installed some new what are those things called? Not diuretic. That's
No, it's been there for ages. We just never look at it.
Diagnostic. That's it. Diagnostics onto our downloads, and it turns out that outside of Canada, our biggest listeners are Sweden.
Yeah.
For some reason. After that is the UK. More the UK than the US.
By a smidge.
By a smidge. And the US actually picks up some of our waves along some of the border towns that we broadcast in. So
really
that's
popular
weird.
In Maine. So
Maryland.
It was Maryland, yeah.
Maryland. So if you live in Botswana, Sweden, or Maryland, and tell us why you're listening.
I mean, it's good. It's great.
No, it's great. I would.
We are broadcasting well into New Zealand.
Yeah.
We are really excited that I believe this will be the episode where we first get carried in Regina on CJTR in Saskatchewan. So I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. For those of you who are not Canadian, Regina is a real Canadian city. Yeah. It's actually just...
Isn't it where Deadpool's from? Like, at least in the movies.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no, they did it. Yeah.
I think he was killing somebody with a Zamboni at the time.
Yeah. And the actual original name is Regina, because it's just the Latin word for queen.
Yeah.
So, and it was named after Victoria.
Yeah, that's true.
One of the four big British queens who did a big thing. The others being Elizabeth I and II and Bodokai, who defended England from the Romans.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about her.
Yeah. Well, how could you?
I know.
Queen Bodokai.
I was watching Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
As you do.
On Netflix.
Original or new?
The new one.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. And they were doing an incantation, and like moment spoiler alert, and they were trying to do a thing. I'm not going to go into details because people maybe... haven't seen it yet.
Right.
And they invoke the names of past witches, and they're like going through, and I'm like, oh. And they were like, Anne Boleyn. And I'm like, Anne Boleyn? Who was famously, she was one of the King Henry VIII's wives.
Yeah.
And it was died, beheaded, no.
She's the one who insisted
on it. Divorced, beheaded, died, divorced, beheaded, survived. Yeah, so she was one of those.
She was the one, I think, who insisted on a sword and not an axe.
Oh, yes.
I think that was her.
Anyway, so I thought that was a weird throw out to British monarchy history.
Yes,
who knows?
Super bizarre. Yeah. Also, I'd like to apologize in advance because I am quite sick and I will be turning my head and coughing quite a bit.
We'll try and edit it out, but I only have so much editing skill. But I was looking at the stats and we did a show with Gary LeGrasse, who's executive director of the AIDS Committee of Canada.
Yeah.
And that one is like weirdly really popular.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Well, we have a great show lined up for you today.
Our 313th, apparently.
Yeah, no, we did some math. You know how Facebook tells you, this is your memory,
which
is handy because I'm pretty sure Alzheimer's is in the family. Well, I know it's in the family. And
yes.
I am going to like depend on it. I feel like my generation, our memory loss therapy will just be Facebook reminders every day. I
think my family has a weird memory thing where we all have amazing encyclopedic memories, but we're terrible at our own lives.
Oh.
So I cannot tell you the year that I moved to Ottawa. I don't even know how long I've been here, but I can tell you all sorts of things. Well, I mean, I could tell you about Queen Bodokai, for example, and I can tell you about things like...
We're not going to get into those
bauxite
things.
And aluminium, and
Facebook told me that it was the 7-year anniversary... No, 6-year anniversary.
Seven. You told me seven earlier.
Yeah, I know. It was the 6-year anniversary of our 1-year anniversary of the first show we did.
Right,
so
okay.
7 years ago, we did Three Gays on the Radio when there was three of us. But since then, since that day one, we have produced 313 episodes and 52 under Three Gays on the Radio. And then we had 83 under the Velvet Studio. So about a year and a half, we were doing it under that name. And then we rebranded, as you know, as Can Queer. I am excited because I will be in British Columbia. We have a huge listenership in British Columbia. In Vancouver, where you may be listening to us now on either CGSF or CFRO, Vancouver Co-op and the Simon Fraser University. And I'll be there January 18th and 19th. The government in Canada has unveiled the Canada Pride Citation. Now, I thought citation meant a stern letter from the court.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not a good thing.
Or like a warning because you're about to break the law. So this is your citation, but no.
Yeah, no, it also means being awarded.
Yes.
Which is, I mean, I got confused.
Like a Purple Heart is a citation.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. So the citation, the Canada Pride citation has been, is going to be awarded to LGBTQ federal public servants, Royal Canadian Mounted Police and the Canadian Armed Forces members to commemorate their resilience, bravery, and sacrifice. And the reason why they are outlined is that this is a part of the reconciliation from the LGBT purge that happened. Now, in a week or so, we will be interviewing one of the filmmakers behind
The Fruit Machine.
The Fruit Machine, which is one of the barbaric devices that the Canadian intelligence agencies and that the Canadian RCMP used to identify homosexuals within the public service, RCMP, and armed services.
Mm-hmm. And the guy who invented it also basically presented it, here's the thing that you asked me to build. It doesn't work, but I built it. And they're like, okay, thanks. And he, no, I just said it doesn't work. Okay, thank you, bye. So
yeah, unfortunately, hundreds, if
I'm
not thousands.
Really reducing the story quite a bit. But that, no, the guy who made it, like, immediately said, you know it doesn't work, right?
So there was a class action lawsuit brought by those folks. It is being settled. There's a settlement agreement. It is the Rossroy-Stalick class action final settlement agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's $110 million to compensate the class members in addition to reconciliation and memorialization measures to account for no less than $15 million. So this one is actually a way of individually commending those folks for their great work. So the design was announced. We will be going into more detail on it in the interview later, hopefully. If not, it'll be in next week's show. So that has been, that's amazing news. It's great. And it looks pretty.
It does.
It does. I mean,
it's very well designed.
This is radio, so you can't see it. We aren't aware of that.
Yes.
But it's like, it's not like a silver, I mean, Google it.
Yeah.
And then you'll see and you'll go, oh, pretty.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, it's a really neat one. I like how you said, after you saw it, I want one.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do.
One of these things about citations is that you have to earn them. In this case, you have to have been a public servant who was ousted in the purge.
Well, maybe. Okay, so this one's like chevron shaped, and this one, well, that's not really a chevron, but that's a, there's a name for that shape. Lozenge. I think it's called lozenge. So that is a diamond lozenge, and this one is like a square on its side kind of diamond. If you get a circle, then it wouldn't be a fake. I mean, it would obviously be a fake, is what I'm saying. And so you could get away with wearing
it. We are not recommending to anybody that they appropriate this citation because it looks cool and they want one. I'm pretty sure that, isn't that like, that's like against the stolen valor laws and so on? I think that's, you'd run afoul of all of those.
Because I was thinking more like, because all over anime you see people drinking Pepsi.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So you can get away with drinking Pepsi, so could you get away with a circular one of these things?
We wouldn't recommend it.
But I don't think these fall under fair use.
No. No, they don't. Well, when I'm not going to recommend it. You can go out on a limb and recommend anything you like if you want, but count me out. Now, I want to move on to a couple of other Canadian stories, and one of them that I wanted to talk about was Alison MacIver. She's a, I think she's a bassist. She's a musician player.
A musician player, yes.
Yeah, no. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Yeah, she is a musician.
She's a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Is that what you're going for?
She's with the Edmonton Symphony Orchestra.
Okay.
And she's also played with Sarah McLachlan.
Okay.
And she went to go see a White Stripes concert in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she wasn't publicly out, but she was there with a lady friend, who was just a friend. It was the whole bunch of just friends hanging around. White Stripes are going. They're doing their Seven Nation Army hit. And, mm-hmm. you know, you've ever been to a concert, like, adrenaline's going. Everyone gets super into it. And they got really into it. And then there was a spur of the moment kiss between her and a friend in Edmonton at a Seven Nation, at a White Stripes concert. Yeah. And you're probably thinking, why is this a news? Like, why is this even a conversation we're having? Because that's such a non-thing that a random lady caught up in the moment kissed another random lady at a random concert.
Right. Well,
unfortunately, the usher who is nearby was so aghast at this particular measure that she immediately stood in between them and placed a hand between their faces and said, "That's not acceptable here." Marched them out of where they were watching it, promptly to the nearest manager, and was like, explained what had happened, because how very dare they do that. And that bit is problematic AF. Like,
right.
That bit is, and I will get to that bit. But what I want to talk about is the reaction that immediately followed. The manager was like, "Oh my God, she just did what to you?"
Yeah.
And apologized profusely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And was like, "That is not how we treat people in this stadium."
Yeah.
The stadium immediately also was like, "Holy heck.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
acceptable."
Well, it's at a White Stripes concert.
The White Stripes the next day in Calgary was like, "That's not acceptable." Like, no, like, actually, they released a statement being like,
"We heard this happen. That's not cool." Well, it's like, what was it? There was a 2 years ago, there was an event that made all the news where there was a concert where the singer, I can't remember the band, but they just stopped the concert because there are people who are body surfing. And the guy stopped the concert and he just pointed at this one guy in the crowd. And he's like, "I saw you grab her. Do not let that guy near any women, because he just grabbed somebody without their consent as they're being passed overhead. That's not cool. Everybody look at that guy. If you know him, tell his mom." And it was it was a thing. And yes, I mean, the fact that the stadium was very quick to be like, no, this is a crazy person. This is not the official statement of our people.
The Oilers Entertainment Group, who are behind the Rogers Place.
Right.
Said, and I'm quoting here from the CBC article, "We have an absolute zero tolerance for any form of discrimination." And everyone's been talking about it, and everyone's been, you know, very, very like, that's not what we're all about. Exactly, yeah. I mean, it would be interesting to see what happens to that staffer. As a result of that, we weren't able to find out exactly what the consequence to her was, because that's not acceptable. You know, the idea that you're just watching a concert 1 minute and you're being hauled out and taken to a manager the next. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like I said, we're not sure. We'll try and follow up and chase up with what happened with her. But yeah, it's crazy that even in today's day and age that happens. Actually, this the lady, McIver, partly outed herself in when she posted about it on Facebook and was like, "You know, the reason why I'm posting is that just to let people know that this is a thing that does happen." And I think that's why I wanted to bring it up in this week's show. I don't want to make a big stink. I don't think, you know, I would rather see this usher have a lot of training, as opposed to necessarily losing a job or something.
Because that'll make her double down on her bad convictions.
Yeah.
Because now she'll be a martyr for her beliefs, as opposed to just being...
Speaking of martyr, quick aside, Kim Davis.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah, the crazy lady who went to church, not to church, went to jail for not doing her job after the Supreme Court of the United States told her, "Do her job."
Yep.
She lost. She tried to rerun for county clerk.
Right. Yeah.
Famously, the position that she went to jail for not doing.
Right. Yes.
And she lost against a guy who was like, "I will do the job."
I think it's amazing the things they vote for in the States. I think. I mean, I am very pro democracy and I am very pro the voice of the people. But good God, do you really need to vote on every single little thing? Apparently, the person who's in charge of pest control is part of the municipal elections. The guy whose job is to scrape roadkill off the road with a shovel and stick it in a bag, you vote him into his position. Why? I know.
That's maybe the folks in Maryland can let us know what that's like. So after the midterm elections just last week, there has now been 8 LGBT people in the House. In Massachusetts, there was an attempt to repeal trans rights in that state. That I think it was Motion 3 or something 3, number 3, referendum type thing 3. There was a third thing that they were to vote on. And they voted to keep the trans rights.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool news out of Massachusetts. Kim Davis lost, and a Native American lesbian, Charisse Davids, got elected. The first indigenous lady to...
I'm actually more excited about...
She's actually way more indigenous than Elizabeth Warren. Yeah,
yeah. I'm way more excited about the Native American than I am about the lesbian, especially after Little Rock. I still read things about, like, you know, new reports keep coming out about that, and just being like, oh, that was a god awful experience for everyone there.
So I do want to talk about. We're going to talk about more LGBT new stuff, and there's a few more Canadian stories that I want to get to. We are going to play a Barbara Streisand song. Now, her new album has a song on LGBT rights. I think it's called Love is Love.
Mm-hmm.
But we listened to it, and it's a bit slow.
Good segue into that would have been, speaking of god-awful experiences...
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't a fan. I mean, we're going to get some hate mail from the homos who like Barbara Streisand.
I think a good way to say that is to say I much prefer Bette Midler over Barbara Streisand.
Well, I like this new song off her album. So this song she did very pointedly geared towards Trump. And as we saw with the way the election... I mean, it wasn't a wipeout. It wasn't like the Democrats kind of took everything. And we don't really talk about the US that much.
No, yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
You know, there were some LGBT wins. Anyway, this Barbara Streisand song, Don't Lie to Me.
I mean, historically, things are always better when it's close to 50-50 with a slight preference for the party who's not the president. Historically, that's usually when things are less terrible. So, I mean, this is good to be, like, 3, I think, seats more Democrat. So, I think that's about as much as American politics.
I think there was more than that. We'll look it up in the break.
It was, like, 7. It was really not that much. Yeah. It was very, very little.
But yeah. Anyway.
It was not
this is Don't Lie to Me from Barbara Streisand off the new album. And we'll be back just after this. The album is Walls, by the way. We'll be back just after this.
Why can't you just tell me the truth? Hard to believe the things you say. Why can't you feel the tears I cry today, cry today, cry today? How do you win if we all lose? You change the facts to justify. Your lips move but your words get in the way. In the way, in the way. Kings and queens, crooks and thieves, you don't see the forest for the trees. Head and heart on our knees, you can't see what we all see. How do you sleep? Build see the forest for the trees. Hand on heart, down on knees, you can see what everyone sees.
Welcome back to Cancreo, home of Canada's queer media. My name is still Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian, probably.
So the Canadian Gay and Lesbian, the Canadian Lesbian and Gay Archive, CLGBA, actually renounced that the Body Politic, which was the LGBT magazine, was published 47 years ago. They did the tweet, and I was like, that is cool. The Body Politic sort of was the precursor to Pink News. Pink News then became Extra, and then Extra then became Daily Extra, and it went online. So it really was this sort of, I think it was in Toronto, it was the queer community coming together, creating a content to share, and it really bloomed from that.
For me, the most exciting thing about the Body Politic is that my favorite Canadian auteur came from there in the form of Bruce LaBruce, who was one of the founding members. And he also, he was the music reviewer, and he did a few other articles. And he is the one, if I remember correctly, he coined the term queercore in terms of punk music with gay and lesbian bands, which was the birth of queer as a term, eventually, down the road a bit. Like, he didn't make the academic side of it, but yeah. So, also he makes really weird movies that if you are one of our Swedish or Dutch listeners, you've probably seen Bruce LaBruce's work, because he shows it in Northern Europe quite a bit.
So we mentioned a few weeks ago about Paul Doerr, the fundamentalist Christian, who went to his local library, took out all of the gay books for kids.
Oh, right, that guy.
And then filmed himself burning them. I mean, I'm still waiting to see what the library fine is going to end up being.
On a very similar note, by the way, there was a thing that came out last week on, there's a Chinese version of YouTube. It's like a video sharing site of a guy who bought a new car and showed himself going like 300 kilometers an hour. And then the police showed up 2 days later. Don't film yourself doing a crime and then post it online is basically what we're saying.
Absolutely. Well, the Orange City Library has seen over 1,300 raised on Facebook to buy new books, and GoFundMe raised over 2,300 as well. So there's been over $3,000 raised. Because if you remember, during the show, we were like, you know what? Send them some loose change. Yeah. Let's help them buy.
They're going to quintuple their section.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like a whole wing, like a named branch of the library.
They're going to buy.
Should name it in his honor.
Like two of every queer kids book ever made. And they're going to have so much leftover money. They're just going to say screw it and buy all the Moomins.
Yeah.
I think they should get all the Moomins anyway, just because I'm a huge fan of the Moomins.
Yeah. And they should get 7 different little chairs for the kids to read on in different colors, like the rainbow. I mean, I don't think that we should be like converting children. I don't think that's not how gay people work.
No.
But I do think that it's ridiculous that somebody took it upon themselves to be the arbiter of truth for the entire community. I think that is disrespectful to the rest of his community. If an adult wants to make a decision as to what a child reads, they're quite capable of making their own decision.
There's the rest of the library.
Yeah.
Go for it.
There are thousands of books.
Yeah.
Why are you taking away my choice on whether or not to be able to allow my child to read that book?
Right, yeah.
I think it is so disrespectful to the rest of the people in his community. And I think people coming together and donating so the library can restock it isn't to say, give all the kids homo books. It's to say, parents in this community who want their kids to see a wide range of experiences, this is an experience that isn't just ash at the bottom of this idiot's bucket.
Yeah,
you know, it's something that we can share, so like I'm massively in support.
When I was a kid, if there were books like this available for me to read, I don't know if I would have read that instead of, I don't know, what was I reading at that age? Oz, because there's like 30 books or something in the Oz series. It's a massive series, but having the option there is really what it's about. It's not about whether or not I would have. Anyway,
so that was one of the ones that came out. Now, we've been talking a lot about conversion therapy. Boy Erased, which is the big movie that came out, really kind of zeroes in on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's been measures left, right, and center to tackle it across Canada. And, of course, we mentioned that there was that religious convention in, I want to say, Newfoundland, where they were bringing in conversion therapists. Now, we see a lot of gossipy stories, such a politician arrested for sexting with a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Now, that seems to be a common headline I see based out of the States. But one of the things that really, really tickled me pink was that there is a notorious gay conversion therapist called Wayne Besson. He was outed by Wayne Besson. His name is Norman Goldwasser. Mm-hmm. He's a notorious conversion therapist.
This is not as doxing and encouraging you to like mail him at home, by the way.
No. But he has been outed on Hot and Hairy 72, Manhunt, and Bear Nation, which are...
No. Hot and Hairy 72 is his handle on the website.
Oh, Manhunt. I see. I haven't heard of that one. What is that one?
I mean, that's overly specific, and you missed the word on.
Oh, yeah. So this gay conversion therapist was... His handle was Hot and Hairy 72.
Well, I mean, those ones. If you really care this much about gay stuff, chances are you're gay. Because I think there was... I've had relatives, like, whenever things like this come up, you know, about, you know, gay rights and things like that, and they're like, I don't know, whatever, just, you know, I hope you get to do the stuff everybody else gets to do, I don't care, I'm not gay. And they mean that in a very positive way, by the way. And if you're going to invest your life into the sexuality of other men and their thoughts about the sexuality of other men and what they want to do with the sexuality of other men, that's kind of gay. So, I mean, it's one of those things that whenever I hear a politician where, like, a core of their platform is something to do with sexuality, they better be Sven Robinson. Otherwise, I'm going to be making fun of them.
So
Sven Robinson being Canada's first openly gay.
Yeah, you know, and he's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got a sense of humor about it too. Yeah. But yeah, no. If somebody's like dedicating their life to some medical thing, like if they don't have a brother.
Norman Goldwasser is a Orthodox Jewish therapist at the Horizon Psychological Services. He compares being gay to being OCD or just a similar such mental illness. And he's sending them to like manly camps and to conversion therapies, essentially that your sexual orientation can be changed with the right degree of therapy, which I'm sure he happily charges for.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually duped into it. There was a sting operation where somebody who they codenamed Dave tried to seduce him on his gay hookup app accounts to meet him in a hotel room in Fort Lauderdale. So, yeah, they...
Oh, of course it was Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, so they caught him, obviously, and have outed him. I mean, I don't think that's an appropriate measure. I don't think...
No. We should
be outing, folks who are doing harm to the community. I think that just... You know, I think this therapist really needs therapy. Mm. You know, I think that's what needs to happen here. But there was a great harm there. This is an extreme action, and I don't know if... I mean, I don't know what he's going to do now, because if anyone Googles his name, been like, oh, I need a good therapist in the area. Oh, this guy's got 4 stars. Let's Google him. It's now going to come up as him being a conversion therapist advocate and secretly on these hookup apps. So,
I mean, you can see his stats right here, and that's okay. That's not bad. His stats, as it's known online, if you've ever gone into any dating site, then you know what I mean by
height, stats, weight, etc.
Extra stuff that generally only shows up on gay men's sites. Yeah. That's all there for the public to see.
So we are going to play Robin Honey, and hopefully we'll have the interview with MP1D Boys and Noaches after that. And we'll be back in a few moments. This is Honey by Robin. I've been Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
No, you're not gonna get what you need. But baby, you have what you want. Come get your honey. Give me away with hurt is, and the ways come.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Stu Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, we talked last week about Tanzania, or Tanzania, depending on... We still haven't had guidance on how to
I'm going to look this up right now.
You're going to Google it, how to pronounce it.
Yeah, no, there's going to be like an international phonetic alphabet thing right there.
And we mentioned that Paul Makonda, the regional commissioner for Dar es Salaam, made the request saying that he'll create a special team to get the hands on the homosexuals in his region. Now, his specialist crack team includes policemen, lawyers, doctors. And communication specialists. Communication specialists so that they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. They're literally hunting them down on social media as well. This has already led to nearly 6,000 messages from the people of Dar es Salaam to Paul Makonda, with at least 100 names already outlined. Now, as you may recall, in Chechnya, it was not necessarily gay people being caught, but rather it's people with a vendetta, people who maybe are concerned that if they're known to know and they don't out them, that they may be in trouble. Yeah. It's just, you know, there's a lot of fear, a lot of sort of snitching involved. Anyways, there's at least 100 names, and there are people in Dar es Salaam who are fearing for their lives as a result of this. This is very drastic.
Well, I mean, if anything else, you're getting a lot of people to confess under duress, which means about half of what they're going to be told will either be lies or just something that they blurt out so that they can get left alone. So it's probably going to turn into a bit of a witch hunt with not at all the result they're looking for. Pretty much guaranteed.
So the trouble is that there's absolutely no protections at all. All of the health service providers in Tanzania, for example, have been told not to treat HIV or AIDS.
What?
Because, according to the president, it fosters and promotes homosexuality.
But young straight women is the largest group of HIV victims.
Maybe not in Tanzania, but people are dying left, right, and center as a result.
Sub-Saharan Africa sort of averaged over the entire subcontinent. But yeah, no, that's...
That's just to contextualize the situation in this country here. We know there was a report in The Guardian who said that...
That could lose them a generation if they don't smarten up.
One activist said that a friend of his was rounded up, taken to the Tanzanian, the Dar es Salaam Central Police Station, and they haven't seen or heard anything from them since. Ooh. And the thing is, though, you can't knock on the front door and go, like, excuse me, sir, where's so-and-so?
Yeah.
Because then you might be arrested for being a homo yourself. Whether or not you are is irrelevant. Yeah. You know, and so there's a feeling that they can't talk to the police about it because the police are the ones doing this rounding up. They are terrified of police abuse whilst in custody. They can't talk to lawyers. They can't talk to doctors. Mm. There really is nobody they can talk to. Now, we flagged up that in Canada there has been no words on it. We have heard back from Global Affairs Canada that they will be providing some of the answers to our questions very soon. They are currently figuring out what their position on it is. Now, what I do know is that in the EU, they have recalled their ambassador and they are reviewing the entire relationship with the country of Tanzania as a result of this. Well, this and a few other things as well. But this is, how you say, the straw that broke the back. And they're not going to accept it. In the State Department in the US, they have announced new guidance for travelers to Tanzania, which now includes scrubbing all of your social media of any references to homosexuality.
Because even if, like, your brother is openly gay and you still talk to him, that might be enough.
Yeah, it's really hard to say what's going on. Yeah, there were South African doctors recently arrested and deported. They were talking about how to bring HIV/AIDS healthcare into Tanzania, and they were all arrested for promoting homosexuality. As a result, yeah, it's pretty dire there.
Because South Africa is they've been working very hard at keeping HIV in its place for quite some time now. So, I mean, it's, I don't want to say their success story. They're as a success story as anywhere can be in the context of mm-hmm. HIV, which is incurable. So, I mean, it's, they're doing,
it's a, managing risk.
Yeah. They're doing a pretty good job, and it's, this is not great. This
we
is
don't, just... we don't know how many people have been arrested in Dar es Salaam as a result of this right now. We're hearing that, you know, one report from a paper out in Ireland put it close to 500, though we haven't been able to substantiate that. We do know that in Zanzibar, within Tanzania, there's an island run by Tanzania, 10 people were arrested for same-sex, in allegedly a same-sex marriage. There's a 30-year prison sentence for homosexuality in the country.
Do you want to hear something really poignant about Zanzibar? That's where Freddie Mercury was born.
Oh, yeah. The more you know.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a Parsi, but born in Zanzibar. Because Zanzibar has been multicultural for about 600 years now. But yeah, no. This is a...
So the president of Tanzania has distanced himself from this regional governor. The government itself is like, that's just the position of one man. It's not the position of the government.
Mm.
And everyone is like, okay... very like, and looking down their nose, like, okay, let's see what else you're going to do. Because Zanzibar is not Dar es Salaam.
No.
And that's where 10 people were just arrested.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the HIV AIDS stuff is there. They have said that they are remaining committed to their international human rights commitments.
Okay, good.
But they've offered no protections for LGBT people within the country. I think really they're just trying to...
So they're not a safe zone.
The country isn't, no. The government's saying it's not us, but at the same time, they're not doing anything about it.
Oh, great.
So
okay.
We have asked Global Affairs Canada if this attempted purge in the region of Dar es Salaam will result in any change in the vast amount of international aid we give to the country, in the military and police training we do in the country, and all of the other work that we do there, including trade. I think I mentioned that just last week. Chrystia Freeland, the Minister for Global Affairs Canada, announced the fact that she was pleased that there is going to be an independent mission exploring what happened with the Chechenian purge of homosexuals.
Because we haven't heard anything about that for a while.
Well, yeah, they want to do an independent sort of global inquiry into it. The Minister Freeland was very happy about that. And I'm thinking there's an incredible parallel here. There's a lot of worry that we are looking at the first couple of days of what then happened in Chechnya. Of course, for folks who may not recall, I believe people died in Chechnya under the rounding up and mass arrests. The Canadian government in that case did squirrel away. I think it was nearly, it was a lot of people got squirreled away out of Russia, out of Chechnya through Russia and then into Canada as refugees.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, most of them went up north through Belarus. And then for some reason, I seem to remember exactly 30 because it's rarely a number like that. It's like 27 or 32.
It was like a secret operation.
But it was like a really clean number, like 30 actually got out through Turkey because... Chechnya is on the northern end of the Caucasus. Turkey's on the southern end of the Caucasus. Caucasus are not easy to cross, but I mean, if you're fleeing for your life, you know, everything's easy to cross.
Yeah.
So.
Now, we have actually heard from Global Affairs Canada. Now, we are going to have you read out the statement that we were sent. But I wanted to mention a bit of the background just after you read this out. So we'll
right.
address that separately.
Right.
So, you know, we were speaking with Amy Hills, who works with the media at Global Affairs Canada, and...
It's a for Mills, Amy Mills.
Well, Amy Mills is the departmental spokesperson for Global Affairs Canada. So,
sorry for the delay here. Oh, do you want me to do a voice? Should
yeah,
I do a voice?
Go ahead,
okay.
Just do it.
Sorry for the delay. No, that's actually kind of, because you're actual British, so that kind of sounds horrible.
Yeah. Also, I don't think that's really part of the statement. I think the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's just the correspondence.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a matter. We'll do James Mason.
Okay.
There is a matter of great concern to our government. The rights of...
It just doesn't work.
It doesn't sound dignified. Okay.
I waited.
This is a matter of great concern to our government. The rights of LGBTQ2 people must be respected. We have raised this issue directly with the government of Tanzania and continue to monitor the situation, working with our like-minded friends and allies. The government of Tanzania has been made clear that this is not official policy. The promotion and protection of these rights are a priority for our government, and we will continue to champion respect for diversity, inclusion, and human rights around the world.
Now, what we also know, diplomats in Ottawa and in Dar es Salaam have met with the Tunisian counterpart. So this is, no one else is reporting on this. We were sort of the first to get the details of this, that the diplomats are in conversations about this. And they're also working with other NGOs and other countries to strategize to how to effectively engage as best as possible. Now, this sort of working with NGOs, working with partner countries, working with diplomats on the ground was very much the approach taken in how Canada responded to the Chechen purge.
Yeah, I was about to say Chechnya. Yeah, they relied very much on the neighboring countries to be like, tell us what you know. Tell us how to help. We'll be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was it? It was the Ukraine, I think, was a pretty big help. And I think Romania as well, but more as just a smuggling route, but I can't remember.
I forget who helped in that case. But I think this is really important stuff. And we know that there are other countries, like we said earlier, you know, the whole of the EU has recalled the ambassador and are evaluating. I think it's important that, as they noted, you know, broader sort of federal government of Tanzania are distancing themselves from this. They are sort of wiping their hands clean. This isn't us. It's that one guy. We're not responsible for it.
Right.
This is not our policy. We don't believe in this. We follow our, and I'm using air quotes, human rights treaties that we've signed, etc.
But they're not stepping in.
But they're not doing anything about it.
Okay.
It's not us, but we'll just look the other way whilst it happens in our backyard.
I see that as...
Actually, not even their backyard. It's in the front living room. It's in the country.
I see not helping them as step one on the long path of not being... Yes, it's a good start, but it's not going to get you there, you know? So, I mean, there are a lot of nations in that region that are reliable for at least trying to take human rights seriously, not only in their own country, but in the neighboring ones as well. And it's interesting to hear the strange position of Zanzibar as well, that they're kind of, you know, at least on their own turf, they're taking it seriously, which is, again, halfway there, I guess.
Isn't that where the 10 got arrested?
No, I thought that Zanzibar said they weren't.
No. The federal government said it isn't. Zanzibar is the territory of Tanzania. Which isn't Dar es Salaam. It's like a totally different bit of the country.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Where people were arrested.
It's on the coast, yes.
Yeah. Now, we have not heard of any arrests, at least. But when this is being recorded, we haven't heard of any arrests in Dar es Salaam. Mm-hmm. So it may just be the panic. It may just be the trepidation. We know activists have gone underground. People are hiding. They're in fear for their lives. You know, even if the regional governor of Dar es Salaam does not round them all up and put them in a cage, which could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if he doesn't do that, because of his actions, that government, which is incredibly hostile and where homosexuality has a 30-year prison sentence, has over 100 names, and they've been contacted 5,000 times. So they are sitting on a treasure trove of information, and that's not going to go away. They may not arrest them now. They may not round them up now because the media and the world is paying attention. But they've asked everyone to come forward with that information. They're sitting on all of these names. You know, they don't just go away in a 30 days later. You know, they're going to sit on those.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be really concerning, is that this may be step one to something more hostile.
Yeah.
But step two may not happen for a while because, you know, Global Affairs Canada is keeping an eye on this, because non-governmental organizations and queer media are keeping an eye on this. Mm. You know, that's what worries me.
I mean, best case scenario is they get a new government eventually and the next group doesn't care. There's a lot of historical moments where former communist allies in the Cold War collected all sorts of information that they ended up not doing anything with because they're like, oh, it turns out it's expensive or inconvenient or just we're not interested in pursuing this
anymore.
It's not
a current priority.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully it'll turn out to be something a little bit more like that. There's a whole bunch of instances of, not Chavez, Cuba. Cuba. Mm-hmm. Who's the Cuba guy? Cuba guy is...
Chavez?
No, Chavez is Venezuela.
Castro. There we go.
Collected a whole bunch of data that he was later like, turns out I don't care. So hopefully it turns out like that. That's the best case scenario, I would say.
CanQueer will be keeping an eye on this story as it develops and letting you all know about it.
Like I said, that's all we've got time for, really. Unfortunately, next week we are looking into some LGBTQ films, some great Canadian films that are coming out. We'll be taking a peek and chatting with some of the filmmakers here in Ottawa. Mm-hmm. And that's all we've got time for. We're playing out with Ariane Moffat.
But nothing from Bruce LaBruce.
Nothing from Bruce LaBruce. It would have been appropriate.
I don't think they would show it at that screen, though.
No.
This is Ariane Moffat with Le Apparence. Apparence? Le Apparence?
Is that not correct?
Les Apparences.
Yes, that's what I said. I'm sure that's what I said. Anyway, this is Ariane Moffat. We're playing out. I've been Nick Smith.
And I'm Sebastian. Thanks for listening.